ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7. What Prahlad learned in the womb. Text number 50. Devo, Suro, Manushyo, Va, Yaksho, Gandharva, Evava, Vajan, Mukunda, Charnam, Swastiman, Syat, Yata, Vayam, Devo Sura Manushova, Yaksho Gandharva Evava, Bhajan Mukunda Charanam, Swastiman, Syat, Yata, Vayam, Devo Sura Manusho Yava Yaksho Gandharva Evava Bhajan Mukunda Charanam Swastiman Syadita Vayam. Deva, a demigod, Asura, a demon. Manusha, a human being. Va, or. Yaksha, a yaksha. A member of a demoniac species. Gandharva, a Gandharva. Eva, indeed. Va, or. Vajan, rendering service. Mukunda Charanam, to the lotus feet of Mukunda, Lord Krishna, who can give liberation. Swastiman, full of all auspiciousness. Syat, becomes. Yata, just as. Vayam, we. Prahlad Maharaj. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. If a demigod, demon, human being, yaksha, gandharva, or anyone within this universe renders service to the lotus feet of Mukunda, who can deliver liberation, he is actually situated in the most auspicious condition of life, exactly like us, the Mahajans, headed by Prahlad Maharaj. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj, by his living example, requested his friends to engage in devotional service. Whether in demigod society, asura society, human society, or gandharva society, every living entity should take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda and thus become perfect in good fortune. Maum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaputa Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatan Deve Gauravani Vijarne Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Vaskatya De Satarne. Here it mentions that to become situated in good fortune, one should take shelter of devotional service. Because in this material world, everyone has their conception of what is good fortune. This is called mental speculation. For some, if one becomes a ghost, that will be good fortune. As we can see, many people are attracted to reading stories about ghosts, hobgoblins, fairies, etc. And they constantly meditate on these things. Others, they like to hear about creatures from outer space. Others like to hear about persons who are rich, famous. So everyone has their mahajan. It is said, Tarka Pratishta Shudaya Vibina. So people are arguing with one another what is the most auspicious condition of life, and those arguments go on forever. As a matter of fact, all of you in all human society, everyone is constantly advertising something as being auspicious. They may say that if you drink this alcohol, then you'll become so intoxicated that you'll reach the most auspicious conditions of life. You'll elevate your consciousness in some way, or lower it to such a degree that you'll get a very auspicious experience. Of course, modern society is advertising that eating ahara nidra maituni bhavayam evacha, that these eating, sleeping, and sex life are the auspicious activities of life. Because people are working hard, trying to accumulate money just so they can advance in eating better. Because what they consider eating better is hard to understand. For the majority of people, what they eat is completely tasteless, or at best, it's abominable. They think that they've advanced because now, at 12 o'clock at night, in most parts of the world, you can get up and you can eat a dead body. These things formerly were on the horror movies. You can imagine a horror movie, a person wakes up, attacked by ghosts, doesn't know what to do, gets up, opens the refrigerator, and out falls a dead body, and he eats it. So what can be a more horrible script? A dead, rotting corpse that died in the last war. No one knows what species of life it is. No one knows what part it is anymore of the dead body. But 12 o'clock at night and he's hungry, so he fries it and then eats it. But this people think is advancement. This they think they've actually become more sophisticated. Scientifically, they've investigated, and when they figured out how to preserve some dead body for 20 years, they think, oh, this is very, very auspicious and advanced. Pravritim cha, nivritim cha, jana na vidur asura. So this is the asuras, this is their conception of good fortune. Nowadays, for instance, if one can have sex life with any person, then one is considered very, very sophisticated. If one is bisexual or multi-species sexual, then he's considered greatly fortunate. If he can have sex life like a pigeon many times a day, then he's considered to be quite advanced. So, this type of auspiciousness is the auspiciousness of the demons, but Prahlad Maharaj is saying that this is all inauspicious. What is auspicious, as one devotee said, kamadinam katina katida palita durni deshas. That for so long, we've been serving the impulses rising from the senses and mental concoction. But there's no end. Tesham najata amayi na karuna natrapa no pashanti. These senses, they never show any mercy. It is not that I am sick, I am old, I'm tired, my senses, they should stop bothering me. No, the senses never stop bothering. 24 hours a day, one is on call to serve the senses. And the more one serves the senses, the more they demand more and more gratification. Just like I said one time, I was on an airplane and I was speaking to one gentleman. I guess he was a gentleman. Because the dead piece of animal that he was eating probably didn't think he was so gentle. But he was eating some dead animal, and at the same time he was drinking some alcohol, smoking a cigarette, listening to rock and roll music, reading the newspaper and talking to me. Explain explaining how miserable he was and he couldn't figure it out. So it is not that I've been working so hard serving my senses and now they'll give me retirement. I can have some peace. There is no peace. There's more and more disturbance. Avritam jnana etena jnanino nityavarina. The material sense gratification or lust is never satisfied. Dusprenan alamalena cha. It is never satisfied and it burns just like fire. Therefore, the devotee says, Utsri jaitan, I'm giving up this servitude to my senses. Utsri jaitan yadapate. Oh, Krishna. Sampratam lava buddhis, because somehow or another I've obtained some good intelligence. Therefore, I am taking shelter of you. Ayata sharanam avayam niyukshvatmav dasye. I'm taking shelter of you. Your two fearless lotus feet, kindly protect me. Therefore, as it's mentioned here, because we are not this body, we are actually spiritual beings, and our real shelter is Krishna. Therefore, in any species of life, the only real shelter is to take shelter of Krishna. Fortunately, in the human form of life, one can realize this more easily. If one is in the species of life like the Gandharvas or the Yakshas, who are more powerful than human beings, one generally becomes puffed up and he thinks, why should I take shelter of Krishna? Who is this Krishna? The more one becomes powerful in the material world, generally the more he becomes proud. And if one becomes proud, then it's very difficult to realize how much one is suffering. Just like Kamsa, he was constantly suffering. But because he was proud, he could not take shelter of Krishna. He said, who is this Krishna? What is his power? So, he's lifted one pebble Govardhan Hill. But what is more surprising, Akrura, is that you're claiming him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply because he's defeated one harmless water snake, Kaliya's serpent. So who is this Krishna? What is his power? But then he was informed that the great elephant, Kulyavalpita, had just been killed by this boy. So he thought, oh, he's not an ordinary boy. Maybe I should go and surrender to him. But how can a great warrior like me surrender to a cowherd boy? So he thought, no, I won't go out. I won't surrender to him. But then he was informed that his two friends, the two wrestlers, Mustika and Chanura, had just been killed by this boy. So he thought, oh, he's not an ordinary boy. I must go. Go to Vrindavan and torture all the residents there. But I cannot go out because my heart is palpitating out of fear of this boy. Therefore, if one is too puffed up and proud by, as the Nagnapati said, by one's accumulated poison, it seems that Kaliya, he was in the river Jamuna for many thousands of years, but he was puffed up by his accumulated poison. Just like Banasura, he had 1,000 arms. And it was very difficult. He was the heavyweight champion of the world at that time, of the universe. No one could block his punches. Even though he could block 499 punches, still he would always get in an extra jab in there, not the person out. So he was so powerful that every time he'd go and challenge someone, they'd flee. And so his arms became agitated. He'd knock down mountains to grind them into little pebbles. So one day he went to challenge Lord Shiva and he said, my dear Lord Shiva, I challenge you. So Lord Shiva said, you rascal. He said, why should I fight against an insignificant person like you? He said, you don't have to worry. You don't have to fight me because soon there will come one hero and he'll smash your pride to pieces and your flag of victory will no longer fly. Therefore, even one becomes so greatly powerful as Kamsa or Banasura, still, it is not a very auspicious position, especially because due to one's pride, one will not be able to realize one's own nature as a spiritual being. Now, this material world exists as a dream for the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, in all circumstances, remains the same 1/10,000th the size of tip of hair in size. But the more he becomes intoxicated by some false conception, the more he forgets his real nature and tries to take pleasure in some kind of dream situation, some fantasy arranged by the material energy, thinking himself to be advanced and powerful, even up to the position of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was, although he was so powerful, he was actually a tiny spiritual being in the heart of that enormous creation called Hiranyakashipu, thinking himself to be the lord of the creation, but actually at every moment he was actually being controlled by the illusory energy in the creation. Although he fancied himself to be the lord, actually he remained servant of the illusory energy. Until Krishna came and smashed his external body to pieces and therefore liberated him from this material misconception. So, whether we're the big Hiranyakashipu or the tiny ant thinking myself to be the lord of the anthill, or we're in this human society thinking myself to be the lord of this house, it is all due to mental concoction. Actually, the real choice is either we surrender to Krishna, yadahankara ashitya, or take shelter of our false ego, false conception of life, and therefore become servant to the material senses and mind. Therefore Krishna says, chaitasa sarvakarmani maya sanyasi matraha. One should give up these false conceptions in all circumstances, matparaha, and take shelter of Krishna. Realize oneself to be an insignificant servant of Krishna, therefore develop one's relationship with Krishna through the process of surrender. And therefore, if one surrenders to Krishna, revives one's relationship with Krishna, this is real fortune. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai. Lord Jagannath Lord Bahudev Shri Mati Subhadra Devi Ki Jai. Not that Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Vartina Ujana Mamupetya Punar Tukonteya Punar Janma Navidyate. Even Lord Brahma, he has his problems. All the demigods, they have their problems. Everyone has their problems. But our real problem is whether or not we choose to recognize ourselves as Krishna's servant and engage ourselves in Krishna's service. That is our real problem. That if one can overcome that problem, then all other problems will be solved. And if one can't admit that problem, if one is somehow or another simply engaged in trying to solve his temporary problems, then all he'll get is more and more problems. The more one endeavors to solve the problems of the material world outside of Krishna consciousness, simply he'll get more problems. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj has said, Naiva dvije paradharatya vaitaranyas tuavirya gayana mahamrita magnatita. That I have no problem even being in the material world. I'm not thinking that my real problem is I have to get out of here. Everyone is looking for liberation. People here probably are thinking, if only I could get out of Belgium and go to Hawaii. It's probably used to say in England, during the winter, they have all kinds of signs saying, go to India, it's nice and warm. And in India, they have all kinds of signs, go to England because it's so warm here, but it's nice and cool there. So everyone is thinking, let me liberate myself from my problems. Everyone has so many problems. If one is not married, he thinks that's the problem. And when he gets married, he thinks that's the problem. Prabhupada said, when his servant, Shruti Kirti, was married, and he was lamenting. So Prabhupada said, yes, it's just like before the feast, you were thinking, if only there was a big feast that I can enjoy. And then after the feast, one is thinking, oh, the feast was too big. Now I feel sick. If only I didn't eat. So one is constantly hankering and lamenting in the material world. Whatever we're hankering for now, whatever new position we want in the future, as soon as we get it, we lament. That wasn't quite what I wanted. If only I could get another position. There's no end to these different positions. Only if one can take shelter of Krishna can actually one find the shelter that one is seeking. And the process of taking shelter of Krishna is the process of rendering service to him, offering back to Krishna whatever one has, whether one is Lord Brahma or one is the insignificant ant. In all circumstances, everything belongs to Krishna. And taking shelter of the guidance of a devotee of Krishna, one has to utilize one's energies in Krishna's service. And then the result is that gradually Krishna will relieve one from all material misconceptions and therefore come to the auspicious consciousness of realizing one's actual position. If we're embarrassed, I don't want to realize that I'm actually only 1/10,000th of the tip of hair in size. It's embarrassing. I mean, this is too humiliating. I mean, being so tiny. So if one is feeling, I can't do it, I can't realize, I can't recognize, I can't admit I'm so tiny, I have to have some kind of illusion just to go on and survive. It's like nowadays people think, I can't stop drinking because I can't face reality. So if one is thinking like that, I need this intoxication of a material body, a material mind, then of course it is very difficult to surrender to Krishna. But if one is somewhat sane and wants to give up his hallucinations, then he must render service under the direction of Krishna's devotee, and then gradually these hallucinations will go away, and one will come to a position where he has no more material worries. He won't have to worry about old age, disease, and death. And then finally, having to take birth again to worry about the same things over again in some other species of life. It is not that old age, disease, and death are glorious if one is a demigod, and they're horrible if one is a dog. They're horrible for everyone. Old demigods, no one likes them either. What to speak of old dogs? Of course, if you're an old dog, you're usually treated better than if you're an old person nowadays. They don't send the old dogs to the old dog home. Because sometimes they put them away. But generally, people treat their dogs better than most of their relatives. Because most of the dogs are more affectionate than most people's relatives nowadays. In any case, in all species of life, in all circumstances, old age, disease, and death are afflicting every species, every living entity. Therefore, we cannot think that there's a pleasant way of dying. One devotee is telling me his father died very peacefully because he was on liquid morphine for 3 weeks. Therefore, he probably didn't know after a few weeks whether he was alive or dead anyhow. Didn't make any difference. His breath, he's good as dead. So this type of dying peacefully is not exactly very peaceful. Especially when the Yamadutas come and yank you out of your body. They probably won't give you any morphine when they yank you out. That's when all the real pain starts coming back again. Therefore, the ultimate conclusion is that the only auspicious path is Krishna consciousness. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Well, morphine, all it can do is dull the gross material body. So one can imagine how much suffering one goes on in the settled platform. When you're unconscious? No, that's not true at all. You chant dead arounds when you're asleep. You chant your rounds when you're asleep? No. Obviously, we're more conscious when we're awake. These ideas that, you know, you learn a language better when you're asleep. necessarily true, especially Krishna consciousness, which requires some understanding. It's not some kind of blind surrender. One's real surrender comes with some knowledge, consciously. Krishna never says, he says, manmana bhava madbhakto, or chaitasya sarvakarmani, just become conscious of me. He never says, if you really want to surrender to me, do it unconsciously. In your sleep, surrender. When you're awake, you do whatever you like. But when you sleep, then you can surrender to me. That has to be done consciously. They may be devotees, but more or less they're Misra Karma, Misra Gyan, devotees of Krishna. They're mixed. They know, just like, for instance, you may be very powerful. You may work for the president. You may be one of the ministers or cabinet members. So you're puffed up, but still you respect the president because he's the one who gave you the power. But that doesn't mean you're any more humble. You just give him some respect because you know if you don't, you'll be out in the street again without any job. So that's not love. That's simply good sense. Political savvy, they say. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Pranam.